And now, the Flophouse Movie Minute.
So the Oscar nominations came out recently.
Boo!
And,
yay!
Wait, that's the Academy Awards, right?
Sure.
Okay.
The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences.
Sciences? Fuck those dorks.
They don't even pay attention to arts in the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Hey.
But, it was started as a union-busting organization.
Really?
So, pretty much, yeah.
That was Elliot's dropping some history on you.
There you go.
Let's get into the meat of this meat
well,
and potatoes.
Here's the thing.
The potatoes for later.
We did a movie minute Scout. About our most overrated films of the year.
Yeah, we totally did.
And it got.
And what happened to that, Dan?
It got eaten by my computer because basically what happened is it was an outtake from the Step Up to the Streets show.
Okay.
And because that show went over long.
As hard as it is to believe it did.
It was split into two files, and for some reason my computer couldn't handle that. But.
Your computer wasn't ready for that jelly, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just too bootylicious.
However,
it should have put a ring on it. Two different songs.
Thank you for acknowledging current pop music.
Oh, always, yeah.
But Stuart, your most overrated of the year was Benjamin Button.
Yeah, absolutely. That
mine
movie
was
sucks.
Mine was Frost Nixon, and
mine
Elliot,
was Slumdog Billionaires.
Yeah, and lo and behold. Those three films were nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, wow. Surprise, surprise.
Whoops, do you fucking do?
And they're not. And let's.
I kind of like Frost Nixon.
Let's get one thing straight. I
kind of like Slumdog Millionaire.
I don't think any of those were shit movies. I just think Benjamin Button is certainly the least of them. And Benjamin
I didn't
Button,
see that one, but I didn't care for
Benjamin
Frost
Button
Nixon.
Is a fairly boring movie that it's like not terrible, but it feels like a movie. It's like kind of a league of their own. If it's like Sunday afternoon and it's on TV, then you might sit and watch it. You're not going to go out
but
of your
only
way
if
to
there's
see it.
Nothing else at
only if there's nothing else on. But like Frost Nixon is not a bad movie. It plays fast and loose with history, but it's not bad. Like Slumdog Millionaire is not a bad movie. It's just overrated.
No, certainly not.
But
I mean, Frost Nixon is very much structured like a Bad News Bears style thing, but that doesn't make it a bad movie.
That's an odd
it's,
place to go.
No, that's exactly
totally
the
like,
right place
that?
To go. It's the only way it would have been more like that is if instead of. David Frost, it was Walter Matthau who's doing the interview.
But yeah, like it's a Bad News Bears movie where you're way more interested in the bad, like the evil team.
But let's
you're
look
like,
at
wow,
here.
Eating the scenery.
Best film of the year. The five nominees are The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
No.
Boo.
Frost Nixon.
No.
Milk.
Maybe.
The Reader.
No.
Slumdog Millionaire.
No. I'm baffled that The Reader is on there.
Did you see The Reader?
Yes, I did. I have to admit, though, I was a little drowsy when I watched it, so it didn't keep my attention. But.
Elliot is a member of the WGA, the Writers Guild of America.
Writers Guild of America East.
And thus...
Which is the little brother of the Writers Guild, which is the tiny brother of Hollywood.
You've seen all five of these, am I correct?
Yes. This is one of the first years in a while I've seen every Best Picture nominee.
Yeah, I've only seen
which
Nixon
is the best
and
of them.
Milk,
it sounds like
Slumdog
Millionaire. In my opinion, Milk is by far... And Milk has problems. It's not a perfect movie, but... The way it's put together, the intensity of it, most of the act, there are two stellar performances in it, which is more than I can say for any of these other films. Frost Nixon comes closest to having that number of good performances.
Now,
Slumdog Millionaire
of the three of the five that I've
actually,
seen.
Slumdog Millionaire has some great
Milk
child
is my favorite by far.
But Milk is. But also, there's something about the like Milk is almost also feels like the movie of the moment, not just because mm-hmm. of Prop 8, but because it's about the importance of. Persistence in politics, local and grassroots efforts in politics, working through the system to make change. Like it feels like the movie of the moment, and it's a really well-made movie. And Sean Penn and Josh Brolin are fantastic in it, both of them. It has its issues; it's too repetitive.
Should we have really started with this category for the first thing we
best
should talk
picture?
About?
Best picture, yeah.
We should have saved that for last.
Okay, well, we can talk about other ones.
I mean,
too.
What are we going to talk about last? Like sound editing?
I don't think we're going to talk about that.
I don't think we're going to go down
but
the whole list.
But let's say
I want to talk about that. Isn't Wanted
we'll
nominated
save it for
movies?
Our,
<that's> probably,
that movie's a fucking turd.
We'll save
what's
it for
the, what's
our awards floptacular.
What's Bangkok sure. Dangerous nominated for? Hair and makeup.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hair and makeup.
Well, so were there
and what's this shit? Off Der Strecke on the line, nominated for Best Live Action Short Film. What?
Were there
Everyone
any?
Knows it's going to go to Spitzwogeland.
Now, were there any? Were there any nominations that you were actually surprised about in a positive way, or were there any nominations that you were surprised about in a positive?
Yes, yes, one. Well, you go first, Dan.
Well, no, I think that.
Oh, two.
I think that in general, the acting nominations.
Okay.
Not bad. I was glad to see that Richard Jenkins got a nomination for Best Actor. Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder is a pretty good supporting actor nomination because comedic performances don't usually get nominated. I actually haven't seen this movie at all, so I can't actually say whether it's good
Tropic
or bad.
Thunder?
No, I was going to say that the fact that Melissa Leo got a nomination for Frozen River just shows that they actually paid attention to movies that people had not seen.
Vaguely. Yeah. Vaguely. If Synecdoche, New York should be dominating this list, and nobody saw it, and they didn't sense. At the very least, that was the thing that really surprised me the most, aside from the Best Picture nominees, which it was like, if John McCain had won the 2004 election, the 2008 election, he didn't even run in 2004. If John McCain had, but the when Bush won the 2004 election is a bigger version of how I felt when I saw these nominees, where it's like, the months leading up to it, I was like, I know Bush is going to win, and I'm so mad. I'm going to be so disappointed, and I just hope there's a surprise. And there wasn't, and it was this heart drop of like, oh, there's no changing the system. And that's how I felt with these Best Picture nominees. But the fact that Synecdoche, New York isn't even nominated for Best Original Screenplay, which you'd think they'd give it to Charlie Kaufman a nomination just on his past work, even if they hadn't seen this movie, which is brilliantly written. But, you know.
Well, I just think that it's strange. We all know that the Best Picture nominees are given to which are the best middle-brow films of the year?
Well, it's,
we're not going to nominate anything too disreputable, and we're not going to nominate anything too arty.
Well, it's Billy Wilder said – I think I've quoted him before on this podcast. Maybe I haven't. I don't know. Billy Wilder once said that they don't nominate the best films. They nominate the films that make Hollywood look best.
Right.
This is Hollywood's advertisement to the rest of the country to say, like, see, we make the kind of stuff you guys can respect.
But even so, like, if they're going to nominate a movie that no one saw – why nominate The Reader and not say Rachel Getting Married?
I still haven't seen that yet. I can't. There's some for every time you've told me you loved it, I've met a person who said they hated it.
So. But Ellie, you trust me more than most people, don't you?
Yeah, usually.
But for like Frost Nixon, why wasn't say Wall-E nominated instead? I know why it wasn't. It wasn't nominated because they put it in the fucking animated category, which is a category that they invented so that no animated film would ever win Best Picture.
But also, frankly, like, as much as for its flaws and the fact that it's a Batman movie, like, The Dark Knight was a fantastic movie. And I would say better than The Reader and better than Benjamin Button, you know.
Well, here's where I felt like Dark Knight was robbed, in the directing category.
Yes, I agree there, too.
Historically, the directing category has been a place where, you know, they can be like, well, this movie was too awesome for us to put in the Best Picture. Yeah. But we'll toss the director a bone.
Well, like if
but Christopher Nolan did not get nominated.
But Ron Howard gets a nod. Weird, because he's not that good at directing movies.
Ron Howard is the most baseline competent director in Hollywood. He is not great, and he's not terrible, but he is competent. Like, he brings nothing to a movie.
And he takes nothing away.
And he takes nothing away.
It's
he
like
takes
Smokey
only pictures,
the Bear.
Leaves
he's
only
like
footprints.
Keanu Reeves
yeah.
in movies. And
well, no, Keanu Reeves detracts greatly from movies. Chain Reaction would have been a masterpiece if it was anyone else. But like Ron Howard is your journeyman, competent director, but he's been elevated to this like this high status for
the saddest thing
because everybody likes him because he's a very nice guy.
The saddest thing is that David Fincher gets a nod for directing Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Oh.
After last year, where he got literally no recognition for directing
Zodiac,
which was amazing,
and Zodiac should have been Best Picture last year, and it was nominated, or at least Best Adapted Screenplay. Like that was a brilliant.
And
movie
I'm just
on
concerned that
level.
This will make David Fincher somehow believe, like maybe I'll just make a bunch of shitty movies
well,
now.
That's
maybe
why
I should be heartwarming.
That's why I feel like the Coen Brothers last year were not enthusiastic on stage about their awards, also because they don't seem like the most effusive guys at all. But it almost feels like they've been making movies that are very personal to them for years, and they finally made a movie that they seem to have put nothing of themselves into, and they won the highest award that Hollywood gives, and they were like, all right, so this is what you want to see from us, is mechanical
they're like,
filmmaking.
Huh. Well, we understand when you didn't understand The Big Lebowski, but then again, you also didn't honor Fargo. So I guess this is what you like. Okay, fine.
Fargo,
whatever.
Movie that we put parts of our growing up into, or like even the like something like The Man Who Wasn't There, which I love. It's like you can tell they put their soul into that movie, and people don't even talk about it. But
and then they make a movie like Burn After Reading this year, where everybody's like, "Oh, what the hell's this?
What happened to the No Country for Old Men?" And like at least Burn After Reading feels like a movie they enjoyed making.
Yeah, it felt like a Coen Brothers movie.
I love that. Like the thing is, I sort of don't understand why people are so down. I mean, I guess I understand why people are so down on Burn After Reading because, all right, fine. Yes, everyone in that movie is reprehensible.
He's an idiot.
But
that's the movie.
If you look at it just in terms of like writing, on like a sheer writing level, like the brilliance of each character, like each character feels totally realized while being totally crazy.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. But it's really, but it's a genuinely funny movie all the way through, which is very hard to do.
And I'm really glad that.
But it's like if they were like, Michael Apted, your 7-Up documentaries are illuminating, but you know we'd rather want to reward you for your shitty Bond movie work.
Well, the thing about the Academy Awards this year is that I'm really glad that they felt the need to basically just pee on Bruce Springsteen by nominating a song by nominating the shitty song by Peter Gabriel from WALL-E.
That's the one thing wrong with WALL-E is that. Terrible
two fucking
songs
from Slumdog Millionaire and nothing else. Like, yeah. We could have found a space for a fourth person, but
you know
we didn't want Bruce showing up to the Oscars this year.
You know who no one likes? Bruce Springsteen.
You know who wouldn't get people to watch the Oscars? A performance by Bruce Springsteen our ratings are so bad every year. Maybe we should get one of the most popular performers in American history. No, I don't think so. We'll get Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, well, like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
He's going to shock the monkey for America.
Maybe people remember they kind of like Sledgehammer.
Say what you want about the wrestler and Bruce Springsteen songs and whatnot, but, like, I don't think you can come up with a better, like, marriage of artist and subject matter than him singing a song about a beaten down old New Jersey wrestler.
I haven't even seen the movie, but when I hear the song and the ads, I'm like, that's pretty good.
I want to see that piece.
That's a pretty good movie. That was when I was a little disappointed in, but what are you going to do? But still better than The Reader. But I was going to say, I was also very happy to see Richard Jenkins nominated because he's a really great, very solid actor who kind of doesn't get a lot of attention. And he made what could have been a very cliched, bland character into a very believable character.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of good performances this year. I mean,
he's funny in Burn After Reading.
You know what? Step Brothers, not a great movie, but Richard Jenkins is actually very funny.
Richard Jenkins, his alcoholic alter ego, and he has a little too many after one night.
Yeah, no, sure. He goes out to the bar. He's like, just call me Richard Jenkins.
Does he hang out with Andy Capp?
Yeah. Oh, Flo kicked you out of the house, huh? Again, Andy. Yeah, congratulations. Congratulations on your Academy nomination. You know, the worst thing
I like to imagine
ever.
that Andy Capp actually never gets hit by that rolling pin. He just perpetually has a rolling pin floating behind his head.
I like to not think about Andy Capp unless I'm eating cheese fries.
I would like to endorse cheese fries for the Oscar nomination this year.
I'm really glad that both Brad
most delicious.
I'm really glad that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie both got nominated. I think that's really great.
Yeah,
well, and I'm glad that Meryl Streep got nominated for being the most overactingest actress in the world.
I gotta say, she was very good in Doubt, though.
Okay, overacting or no?
No, I thought she did a very good job in Doubt.
No, I haven't seen it. I heard that she was
I usually find her to be a little too much, but in Doubt, I thought she was very good.
And Marissa Tomei got a nod for showing her boobs.
Yeah, after
pierced nipples.
She was overlooked for showing her boobs in The Devil Knows You're Dead.
Again?
Or before The Devil Knows You're Dead.
I would like to pimp Rachel getting married and say that I wish that Rosemary DeWitt got a nomination for Best Supporting Actress.
I was glad that Viola Davis was nominated for Doubt. She only has really one scene in the movie, but it is the best scene in the film. As for Taraji P. Henson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, not that good.
Who is that?
She plays Benjamin Button's mom, right?
Yeah. Okay.
She's not that great.
And for the most obvious choice of the year, it's Kung Fu Panda for Best Animated Film.
What? You know,
sorry, WALL-E.
Now, Benjamin Button is some sort of stuffed bear, correct?
Yes. He's like corduroy.
Okay. He was born in Paddington Station.
The thing that it's what's too bad is that there are a couple great performances in the supporting actor category. Heath Ledger should get it. But I wish that Josh Brolin could also win because his performance in Milk is great.
Well, he got a Golden Globe. That's just as good, right?
Sure, the Hollywood Foreign Press.
I mean, all of Hollywood or the Hollywood
Foreign
Press. But Heath Ledger was, you know, was astounding in The Dark Knight. So, and Robert Downey Jr. is very funny in Tropic Thunder, although the joke kind of gets very old.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, he's so charismatic. But he sells it. Like, yeah, you can't watch anyone in the scenes that he's in.
And it's a joke because that everyone else is not as funny as him pulling off.
Yeah, that's true. He does it in a way that, say, even like.
Maybe if
someone
Tom
who's more
Cruise
of a comedian
had played his character.
Oh, I'm so glad Tom Cruise was not nominated
for
Best Supporting
Actor. Yeah, you erased our conversation about the most overrated performance of the year.
I didn't erase it. It got
you were worried the Scientologists would come down on you like a bag of bricks, and you erased our discussion of how Tom Cruise sucks in Tropic Thunder, and everyone said he was great, but he's terrible.
Terrible. He just put on a fursuit and a bald cap.
You were afraid they'd kill you like they killed Jack Parsons.
Hey, wow. I noticed that Colin Farrell's performance from In Bruges is conspicuously absent.
I haven't seen In Bruges, but I want to.
I think In Bruges is very good. I was actually glad that it got a nomination for Best Screenplay.
And I was glad, but you know, Wally should get Best Original Screenplay. So sorry, In Bruges. Was that original
Burn
or adapted?
On you guys.
I don't remember. WALL-E is not just a great animated film. It's a really fantastically written film. The structure of that movie is so phenomenal in a way that none of the others are. Certainly not Milk, which is super repetitive. That's a movie that succeeds despite its script, as opposed to something like
Frost Nixon, which had, I think, a better script than a director.
Yeah, you could say that. Although there's parts of Frost Nixon that I don't like. Or something like
But I think like the Peter Morgan elements are what makes that movie.
Yes.
And I think we all agree that for the best achievement in sound mixing, Wanted should take it away.
It's amazing. I mean, they curve bullets. How do you make that sound effect?
You got to imagine that sound first, and that's the hard part.
I imagine it's sort of like a...
No.
Sure.
That's just one of those racers from Phantom Menace.
Yeah, you're right.
And I hope that Presto wins for Best Animated Short Film, because I think the best short Pixar has ever done, maybe.
I agree with that.
And it's a great concept that I'm surprised we haven't seen more often. Mm. It's a magic hat with a rabbit in it.
An adorable rabbit.
Cue hijinks.
Best makeup? Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, I kind of want to win, because it's a really cool-looking movie.
I hope Curious Case of Benjamin Button doesn't win, because the makeup in it is not that great. Benjamin Button, I don't want it to win. Like, if it wins
if
screenplay,
Pitt,
I'm going to be so mad.
If Brad
it is
Pitt
a terrible
wins best,
script.
If he wins Best Actor, I think it'll spawn an entire generation of actors who just look kind of bored the entire movie.
It is maybe his worst performance of late. He's done, especially in a year when he was in Burn After Reading, which he's fantastic in.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Pitt.
Which he shouldn't get any recognition for being good. He should get recognition for being bland.
Yes, exactly.
But on screen a lot.
But that's the Academy Awards. The Academy Awards recognizes blandness and easy to digestness and mediocrity.
What I'm saying about Burn After Reading, perhaps I was remiss in calling these characters well-rounded because they're all cartoon funhouse characters. However, the Coen brothers are amazing in terms of just writing unique characters, none of whom like sound like each other, and each are indelible. And you understand who they are within moments of them coming on screen.
Well, they're two of the best writers in film, basically. So.
And there's a dildo chair in that movie.
There's a Sibian chair, which is hilarious, or Sibian, I don't know how it's pronounced, which is hilarious.
I've only heard about those on websites.
I saw it in my Gentleman's Magazine. I realized that's we've been quoting this at work constantly.
A Gentleman's Magazine.
It's mostly just speed rail. It cost me $100 to put together, not including labor costs. And I had to buy the dildo. I'm not set up to mold plastic or mold latex, whatever he says. Such a funny scene. There's that moment. Oh, well, it involves a spoiler. I won't say it. There's a moment of just George Clooney's posture in one part of that movie that blew me away. Just that involves him killing someone he's not supposed to kill. And then just this moment, you just see him and his shoulders are so slumped down and he looks so sad in his posture. And it's just this defeated, pathetic moment from George Clooney that you rarely see. That was just really great.
Well, this is going to be the longest movie minute.
Yeah, this
ever.
Is a 20-minute like, movie minutes? Minute. Well, you can edit it down, right?
I didn't say anything interesting.
I can edit it down to a tight 3 minutes, Elliot. That's the kind of guy I am.
Just cut out everything except the Best Picture talk.
Yeah, fucking Oscars, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? How come Australia didn't get nominated for too much? Just costume design.
Not even songs. Baz Luhrmann loves songs.
That Peter Gabriel song in WALL-E is so bad.
It's so crappy, right?
And it's that movie, like, the movie ends on such a perfect note, and you're like, oh, just let me savor this. And then Peter Gabriel's terrible song comes in and ruins it.
Like,
you know what? I don't even want it to win Best Animated Picture anymore because of that song.
Did Randy Newman die or something? Like, why didn't they just call that dude?
No, Randy. I assume he and Peter Gabriel switch off.
Okay, they tag out.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Peter, take care of this one. Slap hands. So the Oscars. And then, don't worry, when it happens for real, it'll be a super disappointing thing.
And then afterwards, we'll talk about it all sad style.
And my boss is not hosting it, so I'm not doing anything for it this year. So. But I was recently accosted by a relative of mine because he was mad about a clip I used in the gay cowboy thing, which is 3 years old at this point. But he was talking about it as if it just happened. And I was like, really? Like, I kind of forgot I did that. Like, why would, you know, but anyway. So the Oscars lives on in people's hearts.
It's a night for Hollywood magic.